That's okay, you can say it. So let's try again, and go ahead and include your nickname.
My name is Lawrence William Herman, better known as Buff, and I was born May the 9th, 1918, in Hester, Missouri.
So is that how you would fix that? If you made that sort of a mistake, you would just have to keep heating the container that it was in to liquefy it,
well,
so that'd do its thing, or was there a better way to... So, we were talking about the wrong fuel being put in the container, and that might work for a while, but if it didn't, what did you have to do to...
In warmer weather, if you put furnace oil into a space heater instead of stove oil, it would probably work all right, but it smoked up. It was heavier oil, and it caused this regular space heater type stove to soot up, and it wouldn't burn good, wouldn't heat good.
Mm-hmm.
And if we made that mistake, if we put too much in there, we'd have to go pump it out. But that seldom ever happened. Rare occasion did we make a mistake like that.
Did you have any major clients that represented a major portion of your income business? Did you have any big clients like that?
Right now, the biggest client I think I had probably was the old Foley Hotel. They heated that building, which is now gone. It was across the street from the Foley Annex there. But the Foley Hotel, I think, was right in there where the phone company is at now. And they had that building there with oil. And I had that account. That was about the time when they built the armory down there, and I had that account down there when they was building that and heating that. Sold a lot of logging accounts. I had later on with the oil company out here. We had a good logging account business. M&R Logging Company and such as that. But as I recall right now, that was our major accounts. I think probably the Foley Hotel was the biggest one.
Mm-hmm. Now, it went from, or my notes show that we went from Fletcher Oil to Signal Oil. Was that the company that you owned, the Signal Oil? Looking at my notes, sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's good. But no, I didn't own it. During the war, after I left Fletcher, they put me in 4F, and I didn't get into the service, so I followed construction work. I'd already quit my job with Fletcher, and I followed construction work, and we worked on Camp White down at Medford, and then we went down... worked when they was doing work out here at the airport. I started driving truck for I think Squeak Albano Trucking Company, I believe was the guy's name, and it was I followed them around then on construction work for several years, and then for 2 years I think.
About 2 years.
And then we quit that. I worked on when they started, that's when they was building Hanford over here, and we moved trucks in there, and I worked there for a while, and then I quit and went to into the woods and doing some logging, and then I was logging over out of Spray, Oregon, and my brother Bud was running the service station here, and it was a signal station, and he called over there one time and says, "You want to get back in the oil business?" So I think that we can take over this station. I'll run the station, and you can run the wholesale plant. And that was at that point in time. the heating oil business with the little truck.
About when was that?
That would have been about 44.
45.
45 along in there. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been about right.
Now, was this doing basically the same things that you've done with Fletcher?
Same thing.
Except that just in this case there was a gas station attached to it as well.
Well,
or a fuel station.
There was a fuel station at that time. It was on the corner where Lackey's realtor office is, right by the underpass there.
Mm-hmm.
And the street from Jefferson come between the service station and the underpass. That was before they widened that underpass down there. And then we had the signal station out on the highway there, right where Klondike is at now. They had a service station. We put a service station out there where the bulk plant was.
Uh-huh.
We got there.
Now, you say your brother ran the service station and you ran the business, the oil
wholesale.
Business,
mm-hmm.
wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
And what did that involve? What, is that basically what we've already talked about, where you
pretty
processed
much,
and moved it out to where it needed to go?
Same type of operation,
mm-hmm.
different company.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it was a commission operation, and you worked strictly on commission. If you didn't sell any oil, you didn't make any money. You paid your own operating expenses, you owned all of your own equipment, trucks, and we had two trucks, and I had a little pickup and a delivery truck.
Well, what would have been the lure or the advantage to doing that?
Well, it was a job, making a living, and putting groceries on the table.
Well, I guess, was it better like to be your own boss than to work for somebody else? I'm just wondering if there was an advantage that made you say this is what we need to do.
Well,
when you took it over,
you were in business for yourself. You, the same as these oil distributors, are in business. Lynn Anderson was with Union. Jiggs Laird was with 76, I think. Carl Erickson was a Shell distributor then, and it was a difference between working for somebody else and working for yourself.
Okay.
You worked for somebody else. You put in your 8 hours, and if you were a good employee, why, you'd give a little extra and kept a better job, but if you was on your own, the harder you worked, the more money you made, or deeper in debt you went. I don't know which it was.
Yeah.
But very little time. I spent some time in the woods and time driving trucks during the war, but most of the rest of the time I've been in business for myself, one way or the other, all the way through.
So when it was Fletcher, and then later when it was Signal, did you have competitors in the immediate area?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had, we had Shell, and we had Texaco, and we had the Union Oil Company, and we had 76 out on the highway there.
Standard
Oil. And when we first went into that business, they didn't have no tanks or anything. All of the oil that we sold through the signal stations, I had to pick it up with my own truck over at the Standard Oil plant from Lyle Smith. He was a distributor then. And then after he left, Dick Staub was a distributor there.
So did you all buy your same basic stuff from the same spot?
Well, Signal did, and the rest of them had their own tanks, but Signal, we didn't have our own tanks, so we had to buy them all. And Signal Oil Company was owned by Standard Oil. ownership, the Standard, it was owned once by Standard of Jersey and Standard of Delaware.
Yeah.
Various Standard Oil branches owned Signal Oil Company.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall for sure just what they were.
Okay. What was the catalyst that next brought you into the trailer business from oil? How did that happen?
We were, for a number of years through the service station, we was U-Haul distributor, and U-Haul company went into renting, of course they rent all kinds of trailers and trucks now, and they took on renting vacation trailers at that time. And they had 15-foot, a load of vacation trailers that they rented, and it wasn't successful because they rented them through their U-Haul dealers at various stations, and the dealers was either using them themselves on weekends or letting them freeze up and not take care of them. So U-Haul companies seen that was not a good venture, so they went out of business with that, and they sold the trailers to any of their dealers that wanted to buy them, and we bought a 15-foot U-Haul trailer in real good shape from the U-Haul company, or a lower trailer from the U-Haul company, and we brought it home and was going to use it as a rental at the service station here to kind of help subsidize the station. And we used it 1 week when we went to the coast, or went to Portland to pick it up. We went down to the coast and then come back, and it was rented all the time, so we decided that might be a good thing to do. So we, on our way home, we had stopped at Lloyd Center, and they was having a trailer show there, and we met a fellow by the name of Ray Casey, who was at that time a lower trailer representative for this area, and he said, "I'm looking for a dealer up there in La Grande." So after that was pretty successful, we bought a couple more, and he said, "Well, you're a dealer." And so when we got ready to sell them, then we had to get a bond and get a dealer's license, and it just went from there on.
What is an Aloha trailer?
That's a brand name that was made down at Beaverton.
Is that a hauling trailer? Is that a
Aloha,
recreational
it was the
vehicle?
Name of the trailer company.
Oh, I see.
The Aloha trailer was the brand of trailers that they had at that time.
Was this a recreational trailer?
Trailer.
I see, a camper kind of
campers.
Trailer. Uh-huh. And these were rented out to people?
They sold them, the factory sold them, and I got into selling them, but
uh-huh.
When we started, the only thing that we rented then was a couple of three of those Aloha trailers, because
oh,
that's the brand that we had. Later
okay.
on, we had a few Aladdins, we had Champions and motorhomes,
kit trailers
from over Caldwell. We got into that, and then we had pickup campers from Napa there. Sport King, and Champion, and we had several brands.
Now, was this a would this have been considered a new service or a new business sort of thing? Were people routinely renting camper trailers at that time?
No, they really weren't. That was just coming online at that time. In fact, we tried to get enough money from the bank to buy a floorum, as they say, and the banker, a friend of ours, he warned me. He said, "Now, Buck," he said, "don't get yourself too involved in this, because this trailer business is a passing fancy," because he says, Nobody in their right mind is going to pull a big house behind their car just to have a place to sleep when they get to the end of the road.
Uh-huh.
So
You can see them now.
And I've often wished that I had him so he can look at these 700 million dollar RVs that sits down there in that desert out and thousands of them out of quartzite and all down through that southern country that we've seen. He would change his thinking about it, because it never was a passing fancy, but we were right in here at the start of it.
Uh-huh.
And then Bill Rangich, he sold Kit at the time, and we were two of the main dealers here at the time. Yeah.
Well, we had the biggest operations between Portland and Boise.
As far as parts and sales concerned, at that one time, the parts people, we bought all of our parts from Trailer Equipment Distributors out of Portland. They were out on 82nd, and they at that one time they told us that we were their largest account between Portland and Boise as far as trailer aftermarket things for trailers.
Okay, so you kind of started out with a business while you were still doing the oil business. Did you give up the oil business to do the trailer?
Sold out the oil business in 69.
As you were picking up the trailer business.
Mm-hmm.
So you obviously must not have listened to this banker. you must have sold a few trailers. So you moved from renting a trailer as part of your fuel business to doing that full time.
Yeah.
And that was out here at Herman Square.
That's correct.
What was the name of that business?
Herman Trailer Sales.
And how long did you do that?
'80.
Ooh, oh,
69
to 80?
Yeah, something like that. We was dabbling in it close to 28 years altogether, but we really got in seriously then when we sold out in 69.
So what was your product line that you, trailers and?
Well, then trailers is a seasonal type thing. At that time, they were used in the summertime, so then we started looking for something to take up the winter, and we got into the snowmobiles, and we had one or two brands of snowmobiles that didn't work, and we finally got a dealership for Arctic Cat, and we done real well with Arctic Cat, and then to subsidize some more of the trailers in the summertime, we took on motorcycles, and Raleigh Paulson
and boats.
And he had been in motorcycles and so forth in Salem. He went to work for us. And then we took on boats. We handled Fiberform boats and Johnson outboard motors. And had a pretty well-rounded vacation RV business out there.
And so you sort of worked it into a year-round business, so that when this wasn't going on, there was something else that could take its place and that would keep the shop going?
That's right. That's one of the reasons what started us into the snowmobile business was to have something in the wintertime. And then it developed to where at one time, including myself as an employee of the corporation that we formed out there, we had 10 employees out there. And our trailer business, repair business on snowmobiles, there's a couple of fellows here in town, there's three still workforce out there, four. And we had a good repair business. We had a good, well-rounded business.
So you did service and repair, mm-hmm. and you did sales.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do rental? anymore?
Yeah, at one time we had 21 rentals out, and including trailers and a couple of motorhomes.
Uh-huh. Sales, service, rental, and repair.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a big business.
Herman Trailer Sales and Rentals Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you left the, when you left the trailer business, were you already, were you, when did you do this politics, the running for the city council? Was that after you retired or before you retired?
It was before I retired. I was still one that was in the oil business.
And what, because my father has been a politician most of his older adult life, I have to ask, what possesses one to do that? What made you want to run for city council? Did you have a beef? Were you just interested in contributing?
Frankly, Lynn Anderson, one of the oil distributors, was on the city council, and he went off of it, and he come and talked to me, and at that point in time, you couldn't unload a truck and trailer in the city limits. You had to haul, right now they can dump a truck and trailer load of gas in the city limits or wherever. At that point in time, you couldn't drop a bulk truck in the city limits. You had to go out to one of the wholesale spots to unload that. And they were trying to put restrictions on the oil business that we didn't like, and Lynn come and talked to me about it. He says, I think you'd ought to run. He says, I think the oil industry here needs someone on that city council. And I guess that's what started it. Something that we figured might be able to help protect some of our volume amongst the six or seven distributors that was out here and some of the changes that was being made.
Why were the rules existing at that time that said you couldn't drop, you said you couldn't drop bulk oil in the city limits? Why was that?
Well, the gasoline at these service stations, you couldn't. They considered it a major fire hazard with a big truck and trailer with 6,000 or 8,000 gallons of gasoline on it. There, they figured that was more of a fire hazard than one of our trucks with 1,000 gallons of dumping it.
Oh.
And that was the major concern of the city council, as I recall, at that time. And they didn't want, because once you start dumping one of them, the fumes from those tanks, you can, if the wind is happens to be still or anything, you can smell those fumes down on the ground. Otherwise, the wind's blowing, it carries it away and back to the service station or whatever. I don't think there was any more of a danger then than there was dumping 1,000 gallons out of 1,000 gallon tank, small tank in here. But they had to take them out, like a Standard Oil plant and Phillips plant was out here on the the highway going out of town to the east, right in there back to, it's by the Forest Service, I think, has got that property that it was on at that time down here. And the other plant was over there on Jefferson, the Shell plant, and Veltex, and Texaco, and 76 was right there across from, I think they were right across from what was Les Schwab's there on this side of the street. I think the 76 oil station was the one right across on that side, as I remember.
So anyway, it was kind of local legislation that was the motivating factor to get you on to run for the council?
I suppose that was probably it at the time, one of the big factors. And Maybe at that time I thought that I knew more than some of the commissioners who was on there. I think that motivates a lot of people that they want to get in and make some changes about some rules and regulations that they don't like, and probably that.
Did you expect to get elected when you tried out?
I did the first time, and pretty much the second time I did. The third time, I didn't really care.
You were ready to be done?
I was ready to be done.
Uh-huh.
Third time that I run for 4 years. I think it was a 4-year term then. And I didn't do much hard politicking because I just really didn't want it.
By that third time. What do you have to do to run for office in LeGrand here? Do you have to gather signatures first to get nominated? How do you get nominated to run?
I don't remember. I don't know what it is now, and I don't remember for sure at that time. I think we just signed up as a candidate and went out and done our own politics and went around and glad-hand people and told them what they could expect out of us, and hopefully we could follow through on the promises we made. And I don't think politicking then is too much different than it is now. You make a lot of promises, and some of them you can keep, and some of them you find that you run into a loggerhead that you can't change. But about all any of them can do, if they've got a better program, is try for it. And I think that's what we all did.
Now, if I recall right, the mayor was not the mayor at that time. They was called the president of the city council.
Is this the position they
now call mayor?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. So you were essentially the mayor or the president of the city council.
For the last 4 years or so, it was, the title was the mayor.
Yeah, it was. I was the last 4 years, I think. The first 2 or 4 years on there, I wasn't. And then the last 4 years, I was elected as president of I believe that's correct now.
Now, when it was the former way, when it was the president of the city council, how do you become the president of the city council? Is that by election of the council members, or do you actually run for the president itself?
At that point in time, as I recall, it was by the council members appointed or elected the president.
Elected their president.
Mm-hmm.
And what were the duties of the president of the city council, in a nutshell, I guess?
Just trying to keep things going on an even keel and trying to help as many people as you could, and counsel with the rest of the councilmen and talk about what was the best for the town and the people, and try and promote it that way. Kind of a leadership role there. We all had a part in it. But basically you have to have a leader that calls the shots. That's about what we got now.
Was it a paid position?
Yeah. I think all of us got $60 a month.
Right.
And I think that's still about what they make. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I think we got $60 a month there. Yeah, I think all of the councilmen got $60 a month. The president didn't get any more for being the president.
Uh-huh. So it was a part-time position then? It wasn't a full-time?
No.
Monday through Friday?
No. It was just whenever I could take off time from work. And what it cost me a lot of business in the oil business, because if politics then are the same as it is now, you can't please all the people any of the time. You can please part of them part of the time, you know. And And so I'm sure that I know Len Anderson, one of the reasons he got off the council was because it was costing him too much business, and that was one of the reasons why I didn't care to go on with it anymore after the 8th term. And there was other faction here that was opposed to my running it, and so that's just the way it was. I didn't spend any money for politics, and I just let it go as it went.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't elected after the 3rd, 4th term, 4-year term, which suited me fine.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know after you, I don't remember if it was your first or your second term in office, we had a major flood here in the area. Was that your first or your second term?
You know,
it probably doesn't matter.
I don't think it matters, but... we did have a major flood here.
So, tell me about that. That obviously that brought duties upon you that you didn't expect to have to cope with.
Yes, the city manager was out of town, city attorney was out of town, there was no management in town except me. As president, I guess that was during the term when I was president of the council. And they had Corps of Engineers people here, and I know I hauled the Corps of Engineers, one of the guys around with me in the pickup day and night for 2 or 3 days there that they headquartered at the courthouse, and I had a CB in my pickup, and we would go out wherever we could.